All right, it's a privilege, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to come into the presence of a great and awesome God once more. So happy Sabbath to all of you. Certainly a privilege to share the good news. We're excited about what God is doing. We want to bless His name because the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Folks, I want to tell everybody, and listen, when you listen to this message today, the enemy is going to stir up all kind of distractions around you. Go back and get this message in its entirety. The recording is going to be up today on the website. I'm going to make sure it should be up about 6:37 p.m. Eastern time. But you want to make sure you don't miss this message, because this is critical to what is coming upon the church and for everyone associated with the church. I want nobody to miss this service today. If for whatever reason you miss, go to the recording, because today this one is critical. You know, the Lord God is working out a purpose, and He has sent His Son Jesus to planet Earth. And among the things that He was telling us is what is going to come to pass shortly before He returns to set up the kingdom of God on earth. Notice that now. He's coming back to earth, not to take us away, but to set up the kingdom of God on earth. And many are going to be in it, but not everybody. Many. It says in verse 22, let's start with 21 of Matthew 24. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to that time, no nor ever shall be. There's going to be a great tribulation coming upon the earth. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. But God wants flesh to be saved, therefore He's going to shorten those days. But the tribulation is coming. Now I want to point some things out, ladies and gentlemen, in this message today. Some things that will hinder folks and prevent them from escaping the trouble that is coming. Because in Luke 21, Luke chapter 21, in verse 36, it says, let's see, Luke 21, verse 36, it says, watch you therefore and pray always, not sometimes, but all the time, always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. What things? The great tribulation. And to stand before the Son of Man. Now many, ladies and gentlemen, will not escape the great tribulation. Let's turn to the book of Revelation. And we're going to pick up this in verse, in chapter 7. All right, let's see. He says in verse 1 of Revelation 7, after these things I saw four angels stand on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor in any three. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, saying, hey, hold up, don't hurt the earth and the sea yet. Earth, not the earth, verse 3. And until I put the seal of God on my servants and in their forehead. So he's going to put a seal to protect the people. Everybody? Some are not going to make it. So verse 9 says, after these I beheld and look a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongue, stood before the throne and before the lamps, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So they made it to the kingdom, these people. So I cried with a loud voice, verse 10, saying, salvation, you know, they cried with a loud voice, salvation to our God, which sit upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And the angel that was standing by me round about the beast before him and their faces, and they worship God, saying, let's go on to verse 30. One of the elders, let's pick it up, saying, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. And one of the angels answered, saying unto me, what are these? Why are these people arrayed in white raiment? And where do they come from? And verse 40, and I said unto him, sir, I don't know. And he answered, he says, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. Now, who are these people? It's a number that no man can count. They are going to come out of the great tribulation, a number that no man can count, a very large number. Very large number. Now, I want to go ahead and just touch on some things today briefly to point out, because many people in the church, we're not talking about people outside the church. Many people in the church, because if they're outside the church, they're not going to make it. But many people in the church are going to end up in the great tribulation. And if any of these fit you, then you ought to make sure you take the necessary steps so that you can avoid being in the great tribulation. Let's go. Number one is that they don't have enough oil in their lamp. If you don't have enough oil in your lamp, you're in danger of being in the great tribulation. What do I mean by that? We'll look at Matthew chapter 25 and let's start to read about it. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto 10 virgins which went out to meet the Lord. 5 were them were wise and 5 were foolish. So 10 are going to go, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And the foolish ones took their lamps and took no oil with their lamps. So they had a lamp, so it's like everybody else. They look like everybody else. They were waiting to see God. They're waiting for him. But they did not carry any oil in their lamp. That's a symbol meaning that they are not prepared. They were not prepared. So what happened is this. They said to the, when the noise come out that, verse 6, that midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom come. Everybody get up and start to light their lamp. And the foolish, in verse 8, said unto the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They didn't have enough oil. And verse 8 says, but the wise answered and said, not so, lest there not be enough for you and us. Go and buy from those who sell. And the story, you know it, they go, and when they come back, it was too late. They did not come with prepared. They did not have the oil that they needed in their lamp. You see, there is a time factor, ladies and gentlemen. And it takes time to develop the character of God. Yes, it takes time to develop the character of God. And a lot of people don't understand that, so they think they're going to wait the last minute, they monkey around, do whatever they want to do, live any old way, and somehow expect that they're going to be in the kingdom. Well, they may end up going through the great tribulation. That means they're going to end up losing their head. That's what it means. So, the first thing is that they didn't have oil in their lamp. And it takes time to get oil. Are you with me now, ladies and gentlemen? All right, let's take it a step further. Another reason that one may be in danger of the great tribulation is poor or no performance. So poor performance or no performance at all. Let's look at the same chapter, Matthew chapter 25 again, and go down to verse 18. Because in verse 14, it starts telling you about the people that were given talents according to their ability. And he gave one 5 talents, another one 3 and 2 and so on according to their ability. And then there was one who was given only one. So what happened is that verse 18 said, he that received the one, he went and dig a hole in the earth and he buried it. You know the story. We're familiar with it. What happened? He did not use the one talent he had. It wasn't much, but he still didn't use it. Consequently, the Lord ruled that he was unprofitable. So here it is. He did not perform as he could. He buried his talent. Let's read on a little more, same chapter. Because what you find, ladies and gentlemen, is that God was not pleased with him. As a matter of fact, he started to accuse the Lord of being, you know, reaping where he didn't sow. In verse
34,
yes, same chapter, the king shall say unto them on his right hand. So he's going to gather and separate those who are performing and those who didn't. And those that are on his right hand, those are the ones who were performing. He said, come, bless thee of my father, inherit the kingdom. In other words, get into the kingdom. Inherit the kingdom. For I was hungry, he says in verse 35, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Now notice now, these people were performing. People were hungry, and they gave them food. They were thirsty, they gave them drink. They didn't have anywhere to stay, they gave them place to stay. Naked, he says in verse 36, and you provide clothes. I was sick, and you visited me while I was sick. I was in prison, you came and visit me. Verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or give you stuff because you're thirsty? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and give you clothes? Or when did we see you in prison and came and visit you? And the king answered, saying, have you done it to the least of one of these? You have done it unto me. The point is that they must have a record. Many people in the church of God are on their way to the great tribulation. They just don't know it. I said many people in the church of God are on their way to the great tribulation, and they don't realize it. So two things we covered so far. You've not enough oil in your lamp. In other words, you're not prepared. And number two, you're a non-performer. All right, let's look at another one, ladies and gentlemen, that will prevent you from entering the, you know, from going straight, or I should say, will enable you to go to the tribulation. Because some people just won't read. They're beside themselves. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, let's go back to it and pick up this story. Because, folks, this is very, very serious. I'm telling you. Most of the people in the people profess to be Christians are going to be in the great tribulation. I don't want any of you to be in there. So please take note. All right, stop. 24 and verse 15. All right, let's pick up verse 14. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So the gospel is going to be preached. Not everybody's going to participate, but it's going to be done. But look at verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever read, let him understand. What we find is that there are going to be events taking place, but the Lord is saying, let the one who read about it, let them understand. I mean, what about the people who won't read? The people who won't read are in danger, because you see, I said it before, one of the reasons why we always want people to turn to the scriptures when I'm speaking is because when you read it, the Spirit of God illuminates your mind. I can't do it for you. It's the Spirit of God that does it. You say, oh, this makes sense. That was not me. That was the Spirit of God doing that to you. And he's saying, no, let whosoever read, let him understand. So the arrogance of those who believe they can just, well, I read this some time ago, therefore I don't have to read it again, or they neglected us plain read because they find other things more interesting. They may think they have more work to do or other works that are more important and things of that nature. Well, they will find out when the great tribulation comes and they end up losing their head. Now, don't get me wrong. They're going to be in the kingdom eventually if they hold on and go on and lose their head and don't take the mark of the beast. But there is a way to escape that, and it's up to them now to pay attention. So my point here is those people are in danger of going through the great tribulation. Let's look at another situation that will help illuminate this and strengthens my point. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul is speaking to Timothy, his protege, and he's saying, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed. Study. You're going to be like a workman that is not ashamed. You're correctly dividing the word of truth. In other words, you're looking at the Bible and you are properly saying what it means. For those who are not preachers, the point is that you should be able to explain to other folks why you believe what you believe and be a true witness for the Lord. You know, Hosea chapter 4 describes some things that is very, very, very serious. The book of Hosea comes up to the book of Daniel. Some say in the Old Testament, it's actually earlier writings. But in chapter 4, it says, hear the word of the Lord. This is verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Let me tell you something. God has a problem, a controversy with many people on the earth. And they're in, those in the church, even some of them are in danger of going through the great tribulation. He says, there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now, how are you supposed to get knowledge of God? The parents, especially the father, is responsible for teaching it to the children. And many in the church of God are not doing so. Now look at what he says, because a lot of folks don't realize this. It is that serious. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing. You see anything like that happening around us? By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touch blood. This is what God is saying is happening to the land. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwell therein shall languish with the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. Let no man strive nor reprove another. In other words, it is so bad that you say you're wasting your time trying to tell your neighbor because he ain't going to listen to you. For the people are just like those who strive with the priest. Therefore shall you fall in a day, and the prophet also shall fall with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. He goes on to say, as they were increased,
In other words, when they have children, look at verse 6. Let's back up and read verse 6. My people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. I will also reject you, so you won't be a symbol of representing me. I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forsaken the law of your God. And I will also forget your children. Imagine that now. So he says, he's going to even forget the children. Now, let me tell you something. There's a generation which is really on the scene now that God is neglecting them because their parents neglected God. That's why you hear me keep saying we're going to have to go all out now with the gospel. Folks, let me tell you something. Before the Great Tribulation comes, 1/4 of the earth is going to be killed with war. Another 1/4, that means a half the earth is going to be killed just like that, through diseases and pestilence and stuff like that. You heard of the hurricane that came through Jamaica? Expect diseases to follow. They're going to be running real hard trying to, you know, clean this thing up. With a lot of prayer and so on, God can turn it around. But I'm telling you, Jamaica is just a type of what's going to happen to here in America and England, Canada, and so on. Because God has a problem, because the young people are not being taught about God because the parents neglect God. And so this is part of it, ladies and gentlemen. And as a result, these folks are going to end up going to Great Tribulation. The kids are not even going to make it. So they don't have enough oil in their lamp. Secondly, they are poor performance or no performance at all. And here it is now. They won't read the word of God. They won't do what he says. They don't want to live by every word of God, which is Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. That's what he tells us. All right, let's press on. Some people forget our mission. Why are we a Christian? What are we supposed to do? What did he call us to do? What is the Great Commission? Because he called us and he gave us a commission. He commissioned us to what? Go with the good news of the kingdom of God to all the earth. Right? So we must go. Well, you know the story of a man named Jonah. You can read about it in the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Where he said, go warn these evil people down in Nineveh. And instead of going, he went and ran away. He decided he's going to run away. And so what I am trying to explain to you is that running away is not an excuse. Read and see what happened to Jonah. And of course, after that, God gave him a free fish ride back to where he needed to be. And then he said, no, go tell them I'm saying so and so. And of course, this time now he learned his lesson and he went. You don't have to get a fish ride, folks. Just get up and go. In other words, get up and start doing what you're supposed to do. Right away. Don't wait for that. Now, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus describes the same principle, explaining that we have a responsibility. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 13. All right. So Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Let me see if I could get here quickly. Oh, brother, it's a lot. He says, you are the salt of the earth. So we're not just existing in the earth. We represent God. We are salt. We're supposed to change the flavor of things. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is not good for anything but to be thrown out. Verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. Are you a light? Are you letting your light shine? You should be. If you are not in danger of the Great Tribulation, let your light shine. You're like a city that is up on a hill that cannot be hid. That's if you're doing your job. Now, if you're hiding away and nobody can tell that you're a Christian, people are not trying to emulate you, then you're on the wrong track. He says, neither do men light a candle on a stick. I put it under a bushel, rather. But you put in a candlestick and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light then, in similar manner, so shine before men that ye may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, let your light shine, ladies and gentlemen. We have a responsibility
to go with the gospel. And if you're not doing your part, you're not only a part of the problem, but you're in danger of the great tribulation. I'm telling you, folks, everybody who's going to go through the great tribulation is going to lose their head. In other words, they're going to be killed. That's what I mean. All right, let's take it a step further. Some people are just poor stewards. They have stuff to manage. They have responsibility. They don't take it serious. And so they are poor stewards. That's how you would describe them. Look at the book of Luke, the 16th chapter. We want to touch on something quickly, get some lessons there, and then we're going to go to the book of Proverbs. Luke chapter 16 and verse 1. There was a certain man, so Jesus is telling them a parable. There's a certain man, a rich man, which had a steward and was accused of him that he wasted his goods. So he's in charge, he put him in charge, and guess what? He is not doing right. So he called him and he says, hey, listen, boss, you know, how is it that I'm hearing this news that you're not doing right? Give a proper account of yourself, of your stewardship. And, you know, for it might just be that you don't deserve to continue being my foreman or my manager or whatever title he might give him. So the steward said within himself, what am I going to do? For my Lord is going to take away my stewardship. In other words, I'm going to be fired. He can't give a proper defense of how he's been doing things. So he knew he's going to be fired. So he said, this is what I'm going to do. And he went out and he started to commit more lies and stuff like that. What did he do? He says, I am going to run to the people who owe my Lord money. And he says, hey, how much you owe? And then he cut it in half. And you're looking at the story. You read this in your own time. But he just reduced the number. And he's telling, the Lord is saying, even though this guy is acting like he's a good, you know, a good manager, he was really a crook. The point, though, is this. Notice how he started to set himself up so that when he lose the job, he can go back to these people and get favors from them. That's not the right way to do it. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, the 27th chapter. I want to show you how it should be done. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 23. It says, you be thou diligent to know the state of your flock. In other words, be quick to know about your conditions of whatever it is you're responsible for. Be diligent to know the state of your flock and look well to your herds. He's giving an example. For riches are not forever, and the crown does not endure for every generation. He asked it in the form of a question. He said, does it endure for all generations? That means it won't last unless you take care of it. Therefore, you need to be a good steward. You have resources. Don't spend it all up at the same time. Don't run out there and shop and act like you're foolish or you're in Congress and you want to just get rid of everything and then you wonder what happened. Be a good steward. That's what he's saying here. He says, the A is going to appear, the tender grass grow up itself, the herbs of the mountains, gather them. And verse 26 says, the lambs are for your clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. In other words, you get that from the result of what you're doing. And he says in verse 27, and you shall have plenty of goat's milk, enough for your food and for those who are in your household. Why is this? Because you're a good steward. You see the difference between this man and the other one who stole? He's a good steward. All right? So the point here is this. You want to practice good stewardship because many of us, ladies and gentlemen, because of our lack of proper stewardship, the body of Christ suffers and we don't realize that we are contributing to that delinquency. How so? Well, let's look at what happened in in Malachi chapter 3. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, and you begin to see how being a poor steward affects the body of Christ. People don't realize that. Are you saying, am I causing things to be so dilapidated? Yes, you're contributing to it. Malachi chapter 3 says, For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not condemned. Consumed. God is saying, because he's merciful, many in his church are not consumed. It's not that they're doing right, but they're in danger of the tribulation because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Look at verse 7. From the days of your father, you're gone away from my ordinances, and you have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. And you're saying, wherein shall we return? In other words, what are we supposed to do? And he says in verse 8, will a man rob God? Well, were they robbing God? Yes, they were, but that's why he's telling return. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And you're saying, wherein have I robbed you? They talk back to God. Wherein have we robbed you? And God answered him in tithes and offering. Many people in the church of God are robbing God in tithes and offering. Therefore, the church don't have the resources to do what it is supposed to do. You're cursed because of this. You're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Now, there are nations, ladies and gentlemen, where so many people have abandoned God that they just, until Jesus comes, they're going to be cursed. Now, individually speaking, you don't have to be in that category. So I am saying to you, not only are you in danger of going to the great tribulation, but you're going to head to the delinquency of others. So make sure you're doing your part. And he gives you a promise beyond that, because God is so merciful. Verse 10, he says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, and that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now here, which says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Are you telling me God is going to bless you so much that you have more than enough? Yes, if you do what he says. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I am the largest tither in this church. So I'm just letting people know, for those who bear not realize it. Well, people voluntarily give. If they don't, they're the ones going to be under a curse. I don't force people to do it. But everyone who does end up getting blessed, because I pray over their blessings and ask God to expand it and return it to them 100-fold. That's my responsibility. So I'm saying this not because I want money, but I want people to be diligent in doing what they're supposed to do so that they are not in danger of the great tribulation. Because once you start to rob there, you're going to rob in other areas. People don't realize it, but that's how it works. All right. What else, ladies and gentlemen, that causes us to be in danger of the great tribulation? In the book of Romans, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul is writing, and he says in verse 17, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So he's going to reveal his righteousness to you, directly to you by faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's take it a step further. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they don't look at it seriously. So God's unrighteousness is going to be revealed, and they are among the ones who are not going to make it to the great tribulation, not going to make it straight to the kingdom, but they won't be protected. They're going to be in the great tribulation. They just don't realize it. Why? Because they're pursuing unrighteousness. Look at verse 8:19. Because that when that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God show it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even as the eternal power of God, so that they are without excuse. So God is has different ways to manifest himself to people so that they are without excuse. And he says, because when they knew not God, verse 21, when they actually heard the gospel,
They did not show given the glory. They glorified him not. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and in their foolish heart they become darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's why they are in danger of the great tribulation. They changed the glory of God into incorruptible things. In other words, they want to bring God down to their level. It won't work. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. He's good. Yes, he's merciful, but he's a God of judgment. A lot of people don't get that. I am saying to you, many in the church of God, it's going to be late when they start to call, because they're going to go to the tribulation. Why? Because it takes time for you to prove whether or not you're for real. Somebody come and say, well, you know, I'm righteous. They say, all right, okay, we'll see. Praise the Lord for that. Pretty soon you'll know whether or not they're really righteous or whether or not they're evil or they're just telling lies. You'll know. It takes time. That's why the five foolish virgins couldn't. You get oil from somebody else, because it takes time for them to develop righteousness. I am saying to you, we don't want to be in that category. Let's go forth now and do what God wants us to do. All right? And I have one more point, ladies and gentlemen, I want to describe, because many, and there are many, many more we could come up with regards to, you know, why people are not going to make it directly to the kingdom. They're going to have to go first through the tribulation. Let me see how many points I have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 points. The final one, ladies and gentlemen, is in Revelation, the 22nd chapter. There's going to come a time, ladies and gentlemen, down the road where God decide, okay, time's up. I've given you enough time. You're being hard-headed. I'm not going to waste time with you. So he says in verse, let's pick it up in verse 10. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Do not seal this up, folks. I told you, the enemy don't want us to hear these things. So everybody have to be careful about this. Pay close attention. And so he says, do not seal this. Now, in other words, I want everybody to hear it. And verse 11 says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Now, this is God talking. And he says, all right, the person is unjust, leave him alone. Let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. What is it showing you here? They have developed a type of character that you can evaluate and you can tell. The holy people are going to continue to be holy. The righteous are going to continue to be righteous. But the unholy, they're going to show up every time. You're going to see that they are unholy. And those that are unrighteous, it's clear that they don't intend to change. James said, just leave them alone. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his works. Verse 12, that's Revelation 22, the last chapter of the book. He says, at some point, I'm not even going to say anything anymore. I'm just going to come and give reward to the ones who are supposed to get it. And you know what's going to happen to the other people? They're going to be left in darkness. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. He's telling you, make it plain. Many in the church of God are in danger of the great tribulation and they don't know it. Yes, they will make it to the kingdom if they decide to just lose their head finally. Because the devil is going to come do the testing and they're going to cut people's head off. Literally. Take them out. You don't have to be in that category. Luke 21:36 give you
a way out. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things. What things? The great tribulation. But it's coming, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk more about this next week because it's coming very, very fast. And a lot of people are not aware of it. On the 17th of November, they signed into law, United Nations passed the resolution allowing for, what they call it, I forget the expression they use now, but my point is that body of peace, that's what they call it. Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 says there's going to be a covenant signed with many. Well, what we have just created on the 17th of November 2025 is the many that the Bible is talking about. Mr. Trump is the chairman of it, and he says all major countries are going to be part of it. So when the Antichrist comes to sign a covenant with many, those people are already going to be there. Well, we know that now because they just put that into position this past, whatever it was, the 17th, I think it was Monday. But my point was that today. So I just want to encourage everybody, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to go to the Great Tribulation. Be prepared. Do your part. And may God be with you. Thank you so much.